This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, with peregrine falcons nesting in five locations, gulls flocking to water bodies like Hillfield Park Reservoir, and woodland birds sheltering in ancient woodland dotted across the county, I get the feeling that Hertfordshire is a good place to spot birds. And lots of us enjoy looking or listening out for birds either alone or with friends or as part of a bird club. But if I think of a bird club, I do tend to think of a group of older people, really jolly and knowledgeable, but perhaps with a few grey hairs. So how about if you're a young adult? Where are the birding opportunities for you? Well, that's where the Hearts Young Adult Birders come in, a new group set up by Alice Johns with the assistance of the Greenhouse Eco Hub in St Albans. I spoke to Alice to find out more about the group, about birdwatching generally, and why it's a perfect antidote to 21st century life. And I started by asking Alice whether I was right. Is Hertfordshire a good place for birdwatching?
I think so. I think it's a really brilliant area just outside of London with a lot of different green spaces that a lot of us take for granted when we're going past. So in St Albans specifically, where we've set up the group, we have both the Verulanium Park, which is a wonderful area with everything from ducks to smaller birds, that you can just walk around for free and spend a good hour, half an hour, just having a look around and enjoying the environment. But there's also places that are further afield. There are RSPB sites, and also general sites such as National Trust places. Anywhere with a forest or somewhere that the birds can feed, you will probably find them. Oh. And that makes it a lot easier to bird.
I'm sure it does. And it has to be said that I'm enjoying the bird song at the moment. It's lovely in the summertime, isn't it, for that. Now, there are quite a few birdwatching groups around. Why do you think that young people need a group of their own?
I think it's because there is that association with a lot of older people being the ones that do birding, that it's this kind of very niche hobby that only certain people do. And for a lot of young people, it's something that can be, oh, I enjoy it, or even you might do it passively. So if you're walking along and you go, oh, I recognise that bird, you might not think it's birding, but it is. And connecting with other people who are interested is really, I think, beneficial to getting people engaged and building that community to share those interests. So my intent with setting up a young birders group was to say, hey, there are some of us here, and we'd absolutely love to have more people come and join. Feel free to drop in, see what you feel, and if you've done it for years and you know all your birds and all your bird song, or if it's your first time and you just wanted to give it a go, then this is the opportunity and the space to do that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good. And where did your birdwatching journey start? How did you get going in the first place?
Both sides of my family, so my mum, my dad and my grandparents on both sides absolutely love bird watching. So lots of family holidays were going out for a walk that very quickly turned into a bird watching event. But my real passion for it for myself came when I went up to Benton Cliffs, which is in Bridlington up in Yorkshire. And I got to see a gannet flying, which if you've never seen them, they are gorgeous birds with incredible wingspans, and I'm afraid the television doesn't do them quite enough justice, because when you see them up close just soaring about, you really, I think, find a passion for how wonderful and beautiful birds are across the spectrum, and how amazing it is that we get to just look out our window sometimes and see such amazing creatures just darting about.
I have seen them. They are amazing, and such big birds as well, much bigger than they look. And what do you like about birding?
I think I like the entire experience, which isn't very specific, I appreciate. I think starting with birding, I really enjoy taking notice of my surroundings. And that's the key bit, is to find a bird, you need to be aware of what's going on. So when it comes to birding, I take 5 minutes, if I can, to just either go outside or sit by my windowsill and look around and see what I can see and what I can hear, and take a moment out of my day just to enjoy the environment, and then go, okay, I know this bird, and it could be the most basic bird. So I started off going, I know a blackbird, that I can do, and maybe a blue tit. And then slowly building up to go, oh, actually, I'll go out for a longer walk or go somewhere specific to look for a specific type of bird. And that adventure of going to different places and experiencing different birds, different groups of people, and really getting connected to both nature and the community around birding was what really then built my interest and my passion for it.
Indeed. And it must be quite satisfying, as you say, building on your knowledge, learning new things as well.
Absolutely. As I said, I think often birding is portrayed as these people with vast knowledge that can tell the difference between a blue tit and a great tit song from, you know, several miles away. But the truth is that learning it bit by bit is so much more fun and interesting because you can apply it in different places. So I was walking with a friend in London and I heard a crow. I think most people here could probably say, oh yes, I've seen a crow before. But you might not actually realise that you know the sound of a crow. And so it was very interesting as I just turned around and had a quick look and was able to spot it and went, oh, look, there's a pair of crows up there. And we just spent 5 seconds going, oh, because they were obviously having a nice time just, you know, sitting around preening. But you wouldn't notice that in the middle of London unless you were listening out, unless you were looking for it. And so building my knowledge has then meant that I've been able to do that with more random birds, so birds of prey, or along the road seeing a kite and going, oh, I recognise that. Or even just in my garden, being able to do some gardening and hear the robin song and know that somewhere there is a robin waiting to snatch a worm from the rest of my garden to yes. have a nice little lunch.
Yes, and there is something quite satisfying about putting the song and what the bird looks like together, isn't there? That's really nice. And often it's a bit of a surprise as well.
Oh, definitely. I think a lot of the time we hear bird song and it's such a beautiful sound, whether you listen to mindfulness audios that have the dawn chorus and bird song in them, or you're just someone who enjoys listening to the birds when you're out and about on a walk. Birdsong is such a key part of, I think, our day-to-day lives, even if we don't think about it, that then being able to go, well, actually, I can pick out the little bits of different birds and know that it is that bird because I know the song, is such a really validating experience as both a birder and also as someone who's generally learning. Is making those mistakes is also really interesting because there are plenty of apps that you can get that will tell you, but you can then start to test yourself against them and go, okay, I think it's this, and then look. And it makes it almost a game, is that you're learning, you're playing, you're having, I think, a lot of fun, and that's what birding should be.
Yes, well, absolutely, it really should be. You said something there about mindfulness, and I just wondered whether you felt that birding helped your mental health.
Definitely. For me specifically, I've had times where I've been quite depressed, and specifically, I took the time to go, okay, where are my local green spaces, even if it's just the local park? Go out and have a look and spend some time, even if it's looking at the ducks. They are birds still, and they are still part of birding. And actually taking the time to, as I said, be present. So where are you surroundings? What's going on? What are the small things that you can pick up, like bird song, like bird movement, or even other animals? There are plenty of times where the birds will not be there because there's a cat around, but you can still notice those things. You can still notice other animals and go, oh, okay, this is the environment, this is nature, and you are connected to it, just spending those 5-10 minutes yes. being aware of everything.
Yeah, and I suppose also it is taking your attention away from your screen, which is often the source of a lot of anxiety, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I'm very much a Gen Z. I have my phone with several social media apps on and I use them very regularly. And it can become very easy to get involved in the online world and think, oh my gosh, this is the most important thing. But taking that step out, even if it's for 5 minutes, you actually go, well, this is the physical world. This is where I live. This is where the plants grow, the birds sing, everything else is going on. And that's not a world where other people are going to, you know, comment on it, because it is just natural. It's part of our natural world. So taking that 5 minutes to be outside and actually connect with your local environment is really good both for your mental health and also I think for just generally encouraging you to get a bit of fresh air. We live in Hertfordshire in a very city-based environment of going into London, coming back out again. Taking 5 minutes to sit in a park is really good for that, and breaking that down and actually allowing you to reconnect with your local area and your local nature.
Absolutely. And as you say, just observing birds is a really good way, a sort of reason, I suppose, to do that. And sometimes we need that reason, don't we? I wondered also about concern about the biodiversity crisis and whether a lot of birders are involved in a little bit of citizen science, sometimes reporting what they see, perhaps reporting a bird with a tag on, something like that. And whether you thought that small contribution to citizen science and our understanding of birds, whether that helped you in any way?
Absolutely, it did. Because that small element of citizen science feels very small when you think about it. But if you start adding it up, if you know, 1 in 10 people makes the note to say, oh, that bird's got a tag on, or, oh, there's a larger flock or a smaller flock of this bird in my local area, that one person over 6 million suddenly adds up to be a lot more people and a lot more information. And that information is key to then knowing where certain groups of birds prefer to nest or what time of year certain birds are migrating. And these bits of citizen science are really key in understanding and helping our larger groups like the RSPB and other nature groups as well provide data and support to then keep these birds and their habitats safe and secure. And it's a really great way to, I think, combat if you are like myself slightly worried about the environment at the moment. There's a lot going on that feels out of our control, and this is one way to help. This is an action you can take, and it doesn't take more than maybe an hour a day just to sit outside and go, okay, can I take notes of the birds? Can I spot a tag?
So you've started this great new group for young birders in Hertfordshire. Tell us what happens at one of your meets.
So our meets are quite simple. They're once every month. And what we normally try and do is we will stand around outside wherever we're holding the bird watching event and let people turn up in their own time. We'll have set a time, but we usually try and have a group chat so that if people aren't able to come on time or running a bit late, we know. And then once we've reached our normal time, we will head off into the environment. We like to go to the watercress beds at the moment, which is a great place locally in St Albans that it used to be old watercress beds for growing watercress and is now a wildlife area that's taken care of by a wonderful team of volunteers. And when we're walking around there, we'll take a bit of time to stop at certain spaces, such as bird feeders or even just by the water to see what waterfowl come out. And depending on the group and how people are feeling, we can sometimes spend 15, 20 minutes standing in one place and then move around to the next. Or we could decide that actually there's some really interesting stuff going on and we want to go into the hide and spend some more time sitting down slightly warmer and maybe having a look at the bird book to cross-reference. But essentially it's a very relaxed environment where we see how things go and we all listen to each other. But the plan is very, I think, relaxed in that we try and see what people are up for, and then we'll usually do it for an hour, maybe two if people are feeling longer, and then afterwards if people are up for it we head back to the greenhouse, which is who we've partnered with to run the group, and maybe have a cup of tea and sit down and either chat about things or just enjoy relaxing a bit after we've had a nice day and hopefully not been too cold if we're out early.
Yes, indeed. Well, that, it sounds like very fluid and sort of welcoming for whoever there as well. And would it be stereotyped for me to say, I know that on the telly there are some neurodivergent bird watchers. Now, I don't want to make that a stereotype for what all bird watchers are like, but it does feel like a very accepting community.
I think it is a very accepting community, and I'm also neurodivergent. I am dyslexic, which isn't quite the same as Chris Backham, who has been very vocal about his autism and his love for birding. But I think the birding community is very accepting of any interest, whether it be a real dedicated passion or it be just your interest in starting out and exploring. Birding is something that has no set rules. You don't have to achieve something in it. There's no medal at the end that says, you've seen 200 birds, congratulations. And so as a community, everyone's willing to share, to talk, And that makes it really accepting for everyone, from neurodiverse people to socially anxious to, I know there's a push now at the moment to make more birding reserves more accessible for wheelchairs and people who have difficulty walking, because everyone should be able to enjoy nature. And birding is the very easiest form of enjoying nature. It is looking at it and going, oh, that's interesting.
Yes, indeed. Well, you're absolutely right there. So look, so if we're, you've said 18-ish to 30-ish, if we're within roughly that age bracket and we're looking for birding companions and all those birding benefits that you've spoken about, can we just turn up to one of your events?
Absolutely. So as I said, we do have a WhatsApp group, but we work on that if people turn up and have a nice time, they just let me know, so I'm the head of the group, and I can add them to that. And then if they don't want to come again, they don't have to, they don't have to join the WhatsApp group. And if you want to come back, say in a few months when things are a bit less busy, that's absolutely fine. We are here to be a supportive community who are just there once a month for people to either turn up to or not as they wish. As I said, I usually am there with a bag of binoculars, if you've not used binoculars or don't have your own, and a birding book for double checking. So if you want to have some support, or everyone in the group is usually quite happy to say, oh, if you don't know that bird, feel free to tell me. Because we're here to welcome you with open arms, really.
Well, that sounds perfect. It has to be said, I'm a little sad that I'm by no ways within that age category, because it sounds like a lovely group. Alice, thank you so much for telling us about that today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I was talking there to Alice Johns of Hearts Young Adult Birders. Now, their next meeting is at 10 o'clock on Sunday, the 22nd of June, at the Watercress Bed Nature Reserve off Cornwall Road in St Albans. And to find out more information, go to the Greenhouse St Albans website or email Alice. And I'll put both the link and Alice's email address into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Now, it's always good to hear from you. Via email, I'm on amanda.yourworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week. But until then, thank you for listening.